Hello, and welcome to the S-Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture topics beginning with the letter S. I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Andy Scheffler.
And I am Amy Chantasurisal.
Wow, Amy, this is the first one you've done with us in a long time.
I know, it's good to be back.
Awesome. So today's topic is Scott Pilgrim, which is what lured Amy back, because she thinks that Scott Pilgrim is awesome. She was actually...
I do.
He's dreamy.
Well, Scott Pilgrim's ended now, so everyone has a different opinion.
Yes.
It's ended in like three different ways.
I haven't read the last volume, but it's okay.
Oh, well, really? You might get spoilers for that here.
I actually don't care.
Okay.
We could pause.
She's the biggest Scott Pilgrim fan here.
She is. I mean, you remember last year at San Diego Comic-Con when she was the one who actually went to the Brian Lee O'Malley panel.
Oh, yeah.
You forgot about that, didn't you?
I forgot when I attended that panel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. We were just playing the video game on PlayStation Network. We've all read the books, although Amy has not read Volume 6, which is okay.
Oh, that's pretty much reading all the books.
Yeah. And then we all just saw the movie, too. Andy quite literally...
came straight here from it.
Yeah, he came straight here from the movie theater. So yeah, let's start up. Let's start with the movie because that's what's freshest in everybody's minds right now.
So everything starts with spoilers now.
Yes. Guys, this is a spoiler. We're going to talk about the movie.
And the books.
And the books. And
the video game, which I could spoil you guys as to how the video game ends.
They kiss.
They do that at every cutscene.
They go into the subspace highway.
Yes, they do that.
Find a new life.
So anyway,
it's about loneliness.
Shut up!
Scott Pilgrim is about loneliness.
Volume 5 is.
So anyway, let's start with how faithful do you guys think it was? Because, you know, that's what everyone always compares comic book movies to, is the original work. Say, well, you know, how faithful was it? And when it wasn't faithful, what did you guys think of it? Because, I mean, the biggest change was the ending.
Yeah, really? Well, that was the biggest change?
Okay, well,
no, actually, wait, there was
really?
A change.
What happened to the loneliness?
Oh, yeah, the loneliness.
There was plenty of loneliness. It was, like, for 5 minutes right there in the down part of the plot.
I guess...
Well, I mean, the ending sort of had to be different because Volume 6 was not written when they were writing the movie.
Yeah,
and intentionally sort of made them just like, oh, we're just not even going to bother asking what he's going to do. Let's make it end how we want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that in terms of being faithful to it, the movie captured the spirit of the books pretty well.
It really did capture
the feel. A lot of the stuff was out of order chronologically, but I think it got the right character.
I mean, it's also in the spirit of the video game roots that the comic drew itself from.
It really did feel like that it was, you know, the Scott Pilgrim comics put in color and on a screen for us. So.
Except I think the movie might have even captured the character better than the books themselves. I think it's one of those things where, like, reading the books, I felt like it would have been better as a movie, and I think I was...
Well, it's also, a lot of the times, it's hard to keep, at least for me personally, the characters separate, because...
drawing so bad.
I was going to try to dance around that, but they all look the same. Bad.
Brian Lee O'Malley said admitted it in that panel that I attended a couple years back. His art definitely improves over the course of writing the books, and I can personally say that I could not figure out the difference between people for the first two volumes.
Oh, especially the girls. Like, I couldn't tell the difference between Kim and Ramona unless they said, oh, hi, Kim, or hi, Ramona.
Yes.
Really? The goggles didn't? Or the
and sometimes she didn't have the goggles
on. Well, then her hair would be different every
that's true.
Every book.
Yeah.
Or Kim Pine has the freckles all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
But then
you have all like, these little minor characters like Julie and Stacy that you're like...
Okay, yeah, those...
Who's that? And then all of like the little... like what's there's the guy... Is it
Young Neil?
Well, there's Young Neil. It's a Jason who just has the car, and that's his only character trait, is that he's the one who owns the car.
There's a guy that owns...
What?
I totally don't remember that guy.
This guy.
It's in the book.
I totally don't remember, and I read these books 2 days ago.
It also doesn't help that there's two Scots.
Yeah. Well, one of them is the other Scott.
Yeah. It actually did work a lot better in movie form for me because the pacing was a lot better. Because, as someone explained it to me, because I was trying to figure out a way to say it, but there were a lot of parts of the Scott Pilgrim book where I would look away from the page and slap my forehead because it was so stupid. And then in the movie, there's no time for you to do that. It just does a quick cut to the next scene, and then, you know, it moves on. Like, it's better for the comedy, because if a joke fails for you, then it just goes on to the next joke, as opposed to, you know, when you control the pace of a book and you just go, man, this sucks, and you step away from it for a while, then that's the lasting impression.
That doesn't work for me, given that I was sitting right in front of a basement dweller.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, bad joke, and I'd hear that one guy, ah, and I'm like, ah.
That's fair. Yeah, we were in the Metreon, and because we got there a little bit before the movie started, we were in the second row.
Oh, that sucks.
Ah. So we had very intimate relations with the people in front of us.
Very intimate.
Yes. And by very intimate, I mean, God, I wish this guy wasn't here.
It's almost as if you'd been married for 10 years.
Oh. I think this is the worst thing to possibly say. I think the movie captures what Ryan Lee O'Malley wanted to do better than he did.
No, yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah,
I feel so bad saying that, because I'm just like, you know, the guy's work. He works hard, and sorry.
I don't think he'd be offended by
yeah,
that.
He had the yeah, vision. Someone picked it up and did with it what it was supposed to be done, as opposed to something else. I mean, Last Airbender.
the thing would be that...
They made a movie?
Oh, I know that one. It's one where there are a bunch of people trapped in an elevator, right?
Oh, God. And someone...
You had that trailer too, huh?
Yes, we got that trailer too.
And the usual everyone laughing when they saw his name. And I was like, come on, guys. He still can do something.
He just needs
to not direct it.
Yeah, he needs the same treatment that, you know, George Lucas got with Empire, and what Brian Lee O'Malley got with Scott Pilgrim versus the World, where someone else takes it and says, all right, I can refine this. You know, I like the core product. Here's a way to shine it up.
Except George Lucas forgot later again.
Yeah. did you see the interview with the guy who directed Empire? He talked about why
Irvin
he thinks
Kirshner?
Yeah, he talked about why he thinks the movies went down. It's like, it's because George Lucas started directing around the toys.
That's not Irvin Kirshner that said that.
I thought it was.
It's his producer.
Oh, producer.
Kurtz.
Yeah, this article
Scott
just
Kurtz.
Came out.
Different. No, what am I saying? Something Kurtz. Gary Kurtz.
Yeah.
Why does it Scott?
Because he does PvP.
Okay, there we go.
So anyway, yeah, we both got it wrong. All right, high five.
Woo.
No.
No? No bro fist?
No. What?
I got a bro fist.
Amy? Cross-gender fist?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm so lonely.
Right. Double fist action.
Oh.
Wait. I'm so lonely.
Wait, Dom, would you like double fist action?
Yes.
Andy will give that to you.
Where does the other fist go?
Moving on.
But off of Star Wars.
Oh, is that what we were talking about?
Yeah. God.
Wait. How did we get here?
Scott Pilgrim.
We got here. Hey,
by
you have the outline.
Are we on the outline?
This is how we got here. We got here because we were talking about someone picking up someone else's...
Okay.
Vision and go better with it, like Kirshner.
And then it became double fisting.
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that what you think of when you think of Star Wars?
No.
So anyway, yeah. So everybody pretty much is in agreement on this, where it felt a lot better in movie form than it was in graphic novel form, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Cool. And so, you know, it was more faithful to the comic than the comic was, which is a weird thing
right,
to say.
But it's true.
And so here's another question, actually, that I put up. Is this the best video game movie ever made, even though it's not based on a video game at all? Because, you know, it did a very good job of getting that sort of video game spirit going, in my opinion, at least.
What else do we have to base it on?
Downfall, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, it was something that Jenny was actually mentioning after it was over. It's like, that was good, but so many people just aren't going to get it.
Well, yeah.
Because... I mean, we were sitting there going like, oh, I recognize that music. That's from Zelda. Oh, I know that sound effect. That's from Sonic the Hedgehog. And it's like, people are just going to be like, what's going on? Why are there numbers appearing when the X's are defeated?
Oh, we have totally different reasons as to this. Then. I was saying that's actually kind of defeating in that a lot of video games are kind of shallow.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it felt more shallow to me because they spent a little more time distracting you from the rest of the movie, basically.
And but then, I think the distraction was a good thing.
Probably.
Because I don't think Michael Cera pulled it off.
That's interesting. We're actually going to talk about Michael Cera.
Okay. I'll say he pulled it off in one joke that only Dom and I laughed at.
Which one was that again? It was the...
Where he gets punched and then he still asks for the autograph.
Yes, that's right.
And then Dom and I were laughing and the whole rest of the theater was quiet. I was like, what the...
I thought that was hilarious.
It was just us laughing, really?
Yeah, I was like, why are we the only ones laughing here? And then freaking Basement Man is like, ah! All the time.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I would chuckle a bit, and then I would look over at you just in case.
And be like, no, don't laugh.
And I would laugh anyway, and he would punch me in the face. Then I would ask him for his autograph.
You ask for his autograph again.
Yeah, I think we'll.
Where are you even going?
When are we going into casting?
Yeah. Are we skipping forward to the casting?
I don't want to jump around.
We're going into the casting in a little bit, but let's talk about the casting now then, because we were talking about the video game stuff, but maybe, you know, if we're done with it, then we're done with it, right? I mean, who else wants to talk to about the video game stuff that's probably done, right?
No.
Sure.
It's there.
It's there. We can always just go back to it, but like, so, the casting part of the outline is just the question, does Michael Cera suck?
when he was in serious mode, it was good. But when he was in Michael Cera mode,
yeah,
he was Michael Cera. He wasn't Scott Pilgrim.
Right. Well, because, I mean, Scott Pilgrim has like the kind of two sides, right, where he's a loser on one side, and the other side, he's supposedly the best fighter in Canada or whatever, right? And I don't think Michael Cera can pull off the whole fighting thing. He still looked like a clumsy...
I thought it was the other way around.
You think so?
Yeah, I thought that when he was doing that serious part and he was actually doing the choreographed fights, you sort of forgot it was Michael Cera and you started thinking it was Scott Pilgrim. Really? But when he was just doing dialogue and acting goofy and sullen.
Then again, there was also the parts where, you know, he was turned around and it was obviously not Michael Cera.
Yeah, right?
Stunt double.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple moments of that.
More than a couple moments.
Yes. Yeah. But they did do a lot of their own fights.
Yes.
And he did do a lot of the playing of the music.
Which is unfortunate, actually, because his
bass
looked
pretty
terrible.
Bad, yeah.
Really? I always thought that's how Scott Pilgrim would look.
That's
doing
true.
Yeah.
That's true. Maybe. He's supposed to suck at the bass.
Yeah, yes. that's... Oh, man, I don't want to jump into music either, but that's another thing we got to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to.
I thought his physical nature fits, but I think that's just, you know, anyone could really do that.
But you know, okay, so I was thinking about who would have been a better pick.
Okay.
Don't say Jesse Eisenberg.
Damn it!
The other Michael Cera.
But he's better.
He is better. He's
but that's what
talented.
I was going to say. I was like, who's like Michael Cera, but better?
That's what he should have written on the back of his glossies. Like Michael Cera, but better.
Yeah. If you want to hire Michael Cera.
Scott Pilgrim versus Zombieland.
Wait, I thought that was Michael Cera in Zombieland. Oh, shit.
No, that's Jesse. Eisenberg? Jesse something. I don't know.
Jesse's girl? So anyway. But yeah, the casting of Michael Cera for me, I've never really been a fan of Michael Cera. I mean, when he's cast perfectly into what he's typecast as in
George Michael Bluth.
George Michael Bluth,
yeah.
Then I can accept him because, you know, that character's supposed to be all awkward and, you know, gangly and sort of like an overgrown child kind of thing. And then in Scott Pilgrim, he's got those two modes and he doesn't really do either of them very well, in my opinion. Like, I like the parts where he's, you know, stumbling over himself, where it's like, I'm going to leave you alone for the rest of your life now. You know, when he's supposed to be a stumbling buffoon. And then when he gets serious, or when he gets sort of lost, then he really gets lost. And it's like, this is Michael Cera.
The issue with Michael Cera also is he's the most uninspired casting of the entire movie.
Right? I think they did.
The rest of the cast
Yeah, the rest
is
of the
fantastic.
Cast is spot
yeah.
on, right?
Yeah. The rest of the cast is really good. I really like Brandon Routh as the douchebag.
Yes.
No, I think...
The Super Saiyan vegan?
No, Kieran Culkin stole that movie.
Who was Kieran Culkin again?
Wallace.
He was Wallace Wells.
That's right.
Kieran Culkin's... Man, I can't believe he doesn't get more parts.
It's not a race!
Wallace Wells was a really good casting in that one. Like, I liked Wallace way better in the movie than I liked him in the books.
You didn't also like Stephen Stills or Kim Pine? They're all very good.
They were good.
Lucas Lee was great.
Yeah.
All 12 of them. One of which...
I own my own skate company.
We were watching it, and all the stunt doubles showed up, and Jenny goes, "That's Ruben Langdon." And I'm like, "Wait, what? Who?"
You don't know who Ruben Langdon is?
I know. Yeah, I guess I don't recognize him by face. Like, I know the name, and I'm like, okay. And he's like, I guess that's why he changed his Facebook picture to a Lucas Lee picture.
Oh. That's pretty awesome, though. I didn't realize that it was Ruben Langdon, because we were pretty close up, and I couldn't see all of the Lucas Lees. It's pretty cool, though, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what else about the casting would you guys want to talk about? Because, I mean, we've been gushing all over it.
I really liked it a lot.
Yeah. The casting.
It's so good, the casting.
Yeah.
Except for Michael Cera.
Yeah, I know, right?
Get Scott Pilgrim right.
I know, and so that's why I say that, you know, the distractions of the movie, like being very flashy and all that, actually helped with Michael Cera being in the movie.
where they would always give you something else to look at on the screen, like the pee bar, which is
I just couldn't
really
watch him in the fight scenes. I don't know. He just, he didn't give off that I'm the best fighter in Canada, you know.
Michael Cera is not pleasant to look at.
All right, so I guess we're done with the casting. Let's talk about the fight scenes, because, you know, so a lot of them were pretty faithful, and then there was that really weird Battle of the Bands dragon versus gorilla thing.
Double dragon!
Does the Battle of Bands thing continue on through the book? I thought it was just the first...
No, it was just the very first thing.
It was the first thing. I mean, it didn't
continue.
The twins are supposed to summon a robot.
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering if they were even going to get into the robots, but I guess...
It was sort of just like, okay, we have to put in those X's, so...
Let's get two Japanese guys and have them pose.
Who don't even speak English.
And
they didn't have to
speak at all.
They don't speak. They hit one key on a keyboard and it summons a dragon. It's like,
Yeah, but that whole scene wasn't really as much about the X's 5 and 6 as it was about Gideon in the audience.
And the scene in the books is supposed to be about them while Scott is fighting in the background. You know, that's where you get all of the character backstories, basically.
So, what happened to these character backstories? Because we were doing them, and then all of a sudden it's like, I guess it costs too much to flash animate the comics and color them a little bit.
Yeah, because the thing is that, you know, Kevin and I, we were talking about this right after I'd finished the books on Thursday, and we were saying, it's like, who are our favorite characters in the books? Kim Pines and Envy Adams.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who have... like the most human backstories. They're the ones where you read their backstories and you go, wow.
Yeah, they don't involve that. Punching holes in the moon.
Right.
And guess what? No backstories.
Yeah. Envy just is there and then she's gone. Right? And then it's like, you just get the sense of that she's just this bitch and you don't get the reason why she acts like a bitch. And the thing is that, you know, when you're reading the books, she's actually one of the most sympathetic characters. Because, you know, she's sort of trapped in who she's supposed to be, you know, and you only get one throwaway line of that.
You can
in the
see
movie.
That they're making an homage to it, but if you're watching it in a vacuum, there's no way you're going to get that.
Yeah, of course. Like they have that one throwaway line where you're the only one who calls me Natalie, and that's it.
Yeah, and they, like, come on. They don't even explain.
They don't explain
how she becomes
that.
Envy from Natalie.
I know, right?
It's actually a clever thing, but we have to show the pee bar.
Yeah. And Kevin and I were kind of bitter about that. It's like, where did their story go? That's the emotional heart of the entire thing to us.
And the loneliness with the cat. That whole part is great. I think books 3, 4, and 5 of Scott Pilgrim are really good.
They're really good.
And also the whole throwaway lines with, oh, Kim Pine and Scott Pilgrim used to date and whatever. Yeah, that just happened. If you're not even going
to
go into it, there's no reason to even
mention
say
it.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's a lot of meaning into why it's important that he's forgotten everything that he did to her, you know?
Yeah, that's important for the ending
where he has his
whole catharsis.
And meanwhile...
Instead, it's just like, yeah.
Meanwhile, in the movie, his catharsis is, I've learned something. Let's do this over video game style. And that's the one part where I thought that the video game analogy broke down, because instead of him actually learning something, he just redoes everything and he's just really aggressive instead. And he punches people in the face and it's like...
But he apologized at the end.
Yeah, he realizes that the problem is with himself.
Lines?
Yeah,
where he just looks at someone and tells them a line and looks at someone and tells them a line and it's like...
Because... That's how easy it is in life. That's all you gotta do.
Your hair sucks. You're ugly.
Ding, ding. Yeah, and I didn't get insulted. No, shut up.
But yeah, I mean, the story went too fast, which is strange for a 2-hour movie.
Well, it's a 2-hour movie where they had to have 6 battles in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
7.
6.
Well, 6.
Twins are together. Yeah.
Sorry.
What about that small battle?
Yeah.
Where she punches her in the boob, right? That counts.
Yeah, he had to fight Roxy twice.
So yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Wait, I want to ask you this. Wasn't the whole back of the knee thing Envy, not...
I think it was Roxy.
Oh, no,
it
was Roxy.
Okay. Yeah, it was the same thing. It was,
okay, I got
she was fighting,
confused.
He didn't want to fight, and he was just like, her secret weakness is...
Well, okay.
And she goes, ooh, but she didn't turn into a bunch of woodland animals. Instead, she turned into the coins. I go, oh, I thought they were actually going to do that.
Where she turned into the bunny. But, you know, what else about the fight scenes? I mean,
they were nice.
They were nice. They were well choreographed. The Lucas Lee one was way more satisfying in the movie. Mm-hmm. Because there actually is a fight scene instead of just they're sitting around and it's like, hey, you should grind this rail.
Isn't it a shorter rail in the
comics? No, it's a twisty rail in the comics.
The movie makes it seem like it's endlessly long.
Yes.
It's supposed to be really long, so making it endlessly long actually makes it funnier.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, everything else was... Okay, I have to ask. Okay, well, this is how we're going to segue into the music, but the Matthew Patel fight scene with the random song where he floats up in the air.
That's not in the book, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it is.
I can't remember.
Oh, it definitely is.
I skipped past that part because it was boring me.
So what about it?
So, I mean, did you guys like that part? Did it work out for you guys when you were in the theater?
It was really random.
Yeah, it was very random.
It fits for how ADD this film was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were in the theater and people were like, wow, this is so clever and funny. And it's like, we were just sitting there going, oh, yeah.
Oh, because he's Indian?
Yeah. It's like, oh, of course he has to sing he's Indian. That's great.
Does he also stretch?
What? What does that even mean?
Is his name Gandhi?
Yoga fire. Yoga fame.
Yeah, that goes back into the video game stuff.
Well, there was also, like, he wasn't the only one who got his own song. When they did the bass battle. There was music. In the comics.
Yeah.
There were lyrics that were going on. It was like the whole, it was an actual battle of the bands between Sex Bomb and Clash of Demonhead. And they actually were, you know, on the two stages fighting and had the music going. And
All right. But did you guys enjoy the music?
Yeah.
Yes.
I like the soundtrack and I wish that it was more of a presence in the movie. For a movie that's supposed to be about music, I felt sometimes like, there wasn't much music.
Music there was being drowned out by something else.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have that Battle of the Bands thing where Sex Bob-omb is playing, but all you hear is the big thing from the wall of the twins.
I like that scene. That's a really good scene.
That's got to be a difference of opinion, though. But yeah, I mean, my favorite part of the movie is when you actually see Envy Adams on stage.
Oh, I love that
scene. Song was
great.
That was
scene. That was, and then it's like,
and we're not going to develop it anymore.
Like a minute of it, and I was like, oh.
But I have to say, any movie that has Nobuo Uematsu in the music credits can't be all bad.
Because of the
Final Fantasy
II theme,
it was in the credits, along with Pac-Man, Galaga. Like, there's this whole long list of all of the little like sound effects that they borrowed.
Yeah, off the soundtrack, I love the 8-bit version of Threshold.
Yeah,
so good. Too. So good.
What about the 8-bit version of the Universal
yes,
theme?
Yes, that was awesome.
Yes.
Did you like that, Kevin?
That's okay.
Which is why the only reason that I liked that is I like it in retrospect because when we were going into the Scott Pilgrim video game, they don't use the 8-bit version of the Universal theme. They actually use the full-on Universal theme.
Oh.
No.
Which I find
Which hilarious. Is ironic because at the very end, they use the sprite from the game.
We use the sprite from the game to beat up the credits.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so if you guys play the Scott Pilgrim video game, you'll notice that in an 8-bit game, basically, well, 16-bit, I guess, they use the proper version of the Universal intro.
I didn't even know that.
Maybe they did them in out of order, and they only did that 8-bit theme, not in time for them to get into the game.
All right. And then, let's see, goofy special effects. So, anyway, what about your overall impression of the movie, then? Like, do you approve of it? Do you think that, you know, it wasn't worth your time, necessarily? Because we have...
Oh, I'm definitely glad I went.
We have a very mixed opinion, right? Well, there's a lot that worked, and there's a lot that didn't.
I think it was fun overall.
It was worthy of my money.
Yes.
It was odd, but
I didn't pay anything to see it.
Even though I paid for matinee, because I had to fit a matinee.
It was worth free.
It was worth free for sure.
It was definitely
worth my time.
It was definitely worth dating a guy who works for Ubisoft.
Those smelly Ubisoft guys. So much you have to put up with.
I know. The sit on your. Is he sitting on your couch?
My movie ticket.
He's not here.
Oh, okay.
I have a hard time trying to pick out what I think about it, because I think it's, in terms of putting together a movie about Scott Pilgrim, it's excellent. It's probably the best you can do. But going back to the source material, I don't really like the Scott Pilgrim stories, except for the stuff that wasn't in the movies.
Yeah.
I really like everything put together. I still think Edgar Wright has it. I like that Bill Pope was the cinematographer,
mm-hmm.
and the music is great, and the look of everything is great. There's a big budget look to a movie that you would expect they shouldn't be giving this much budget to.
And, you know, I liked it, but I kind of feel bad for being so critical of it, even though I'm really conflicted on it, you know? Because it was a very enjoyable movie, you know. It was fun. It was well choreographed, well made. It was technically excellent, but I can't like the characters because they're all shallow little twats.
I feel the same way about this as I do about Avatar, the James Cameron movie,
where it's
not the excellent Airbender series.
Not the excellent Airbender movie.
Yes, series. Not he
series.
Said series.
Series. What movie?
What movie? I don't know what you're talking about.
Because I feel like they're doing everything as great as you can in terms of making a good movie. When I leave, I'm just like,
I wish the source material was better.
It was a good movie, but it wasn't a good story.
Not that I feel like cold by it. I don't feel like I cared enough about. And this is the same thing I had the issue with kind of with the books for a while too. I didn't care about the characters in it.
Well,
and the worst thing is I think everyone feels this way. I don't really care about Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's because he's not a hero in any sense of the word, right?
He cheats on people. Yeah. He's dumped everyone he's been with. He doesn't care about anything. He doesn't have a job.
He lies through his teeth.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to really.
He's not a sympathetic character.
Yeah. The thing for me is that, you know, it feels like I'm a generation late to like Scott Pilgrim.
I feel that way too.
Because if I was, you know, just hitting my 20s. And I was reading that, I'd be like, hey, this guy could be me. As opposed to me looking back at that and going, man, I'm glad I was never this guy.
But if you were just hitting your 20s and reading this, would you even get all the references?
That's the weird thing about like this. The audience is sort of like, it's written with references that can only be gotten by people who are our age or people who are being hit by being retro and being into the things that we're into.
So this has kind of been my problem with the comics as well, is that it is written for people around our age, but the popular, like the people that actually really get into Scott Pilgrim are
much younger.
Yeah, they're I think they're mostly high schoolers, right?
I don't know.
It's kind of like, is this just how they expect it's supposed to be when you're this old and
you're
decrepit?
Supposed to be a shallow little twerp?
Old and decrepit at 22.
As we all look at Andy.
Get ready, kids. Take your vitamins.
Stop dumping your girlfriends for shallow reasons.
In some way, I also feel like it's... No offense to Brian Lee O'Malley. I'm sure he's lived a very, very good and interesting life, too. But it feels sometimes like this is what... I'm going to go back to that basement dweller guy. This is what he thinks like when you're 22 is supposed to be. And I hope he's not 22 yet, but... Yeah, it feels like what a young person thinks you're supposed to do when you're a young adult, but a young person that won't ever do anything very interesting.
I think it's kind of comforting. It's like, hey, this guy is past college, and he's still making the same kind of mistakes I will. And it's like, you know.
With video games.
Yes, with video game references. That's great. But, yeah, I mean, it feels cold because it throws a bunch of these characters at you and you're supposed to care about them because otherwise you're not going to enjoy it. And then you ask yourself, why do I like these guys? Why am I supposed to like these guys? I mean, I like the side characters better than any of the main characters.
Is that a usual common thing that everyone likes the side characters more?
Maybe. I know everyone loves Wallace.
I know when we played the video game, no one picked Scott Pilgrim. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I played it through by myself as Scott Pilgrim, but that's just because there's an achievement for doing it as Scott.
But yeah, I mean, when we look at it, you know, you look at the characters, you look at the cast, and you go, I don't like this guy, and I don't like a lot of the people he hangs out with. I mean, I like some of the people he hangs out with a lot, but I don't know why I'm still reading this.
You don't like Knives?
No.
I think Knives is a better character in the movie than in the book.
She actually is a much better character.
She's awesome
it's
movie.
Almost significantly
It's way better. You know, that's the one thing that they did better is that they gave Knives a better ending in that, you know, she gets over it. And fully, you know.
What happens in the ending for Knives? I can't remember in the book.
Yeah, that's
in
what I'm books, just. That's why I'm silent right now.
Does she even do anything? Does she just like?
She's there, I think.
She dates. What's his face?
But she's been. Yeah,
she dates everybody.
Yeah. She dates Young Neil. I mean, they got that in. And
that's it. I don't.
It didn't seem like it was even. Like, I mean, she was doing it for like a lot more maliciously in the movie. In the book, it was just sort of like something that happened, and then she turned 18. So then she was now Knives Chow, 18 years old.
And what I remember about the book's part is that they had the bit with her dad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
After Scott Pilgrim with the sword.
Yeah. Oh, that's in the game, too.
Oh,
is it?
Cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. And then it's not in the movie at all. And then, you know, there's that little bit where he turns to her as he's walking by. It's like, Scott Pilgrim is a fine young man. He is honorable. And he walks past. And it's like, that really was something close to her ending. And it's like, that's not satisfying.
I thought they were going to go there when he was like, he wanted you to meet my parents. I'm like, do we meet the parents? Oh.
Should have been Watanabe Ken the Samurai.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm still really conflicted about whether or not I fully enjoyed the movie. It was enjoyable. I will give it that without reservation. But how much I enjoyed it, the jury's still a little bit out because I didn't like anybody. You know,
I think I will like it a lot more on video, and especially watching it just with friends as opposed to with a movie audience.
You mean no basement guy?
God, basement guy.
Oh man, so describe basement guy. What do you mean by that anyway? Like
he was
someone who lives in his parents' basement,
behind basement man. And he was sitting directly behind me, so I guess I got all his other mutterings and little things that happened.
Yeah, because I didn't hear those.
Oh, I got hit. Well, everyone should have been able to hear his big ahs, and I also got his and his talking to himself.
Oh God!
Maybe this ruined the movie for me.
Maybe
it sounds like it
because it's just like most of the time I was just like, "Shut up, guy! That wasn't that funny." I also get really like mad when I'm like, "That's not that funny. Stop it."
Well, we'll see. We're probably going to watch it again. I mean, it's definitely a movie that I want to own on DVD. You know, yeah. I feel like it kept enough of its independent spirit, even though it was a big budget Universal movie, that, you know, it was worth supporting. You know, it's not an original idea, but it was executed so well, and it was based on, you know, this one guy's comic as opposed to written by committee.
So I have a question for you guys, because so I read a lot of blogs, so I read about comic books, movies, music, and video games, which fit into the four categories of Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
So this whole week, like, I couldn't go through Google Reader without every other article being about Scott Pilgrim.
Yep.
And every single one is gushing about how it's going to be this cult classic, and it's going to be this phenomenon, and it's going to be the movie that represents the kids of the late 90s and early Audis. And I'm like, really?
Audis?
Audis are the 00s.
Is that what they call them?
Yeah. That's the first I'd heard.
A-U-G-H.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's an Audis.
Audis. Oh, sorry.
So, Audis. As a random note, well, never mind. Go on.
So, is it supposed to be? Because I don't, it doesn't, you know, I know The Breakfast Club is not my generation either's movie, but I can understand that being that generation's movie. I don't know about Scott Pilgrim being of that nature.
If Scott Pilgrim is this generation's movie, then this generation is really in trouble.
Because you say that about every generation.
I think all those people who've been giving it those rave reviews are all within their own little bubble, right? They by our generation or whatever, when they say it, they mean their generation of like little nerdy people or something. You know, I mean, I mean, not everyone's going to get this movie, right? But I'm sure whoever, you know, would write something like that is really just talking about himself and his friends.
Because it's just like every article, and I was like, it can't be. At first I was like, oh, it's that one guy, and I'm not trusting him for most things anymore. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, then it was also this guy, and then all the commenters for this guy, and I feel like I'm missing something. Am I?
Yeah. The one of the things that I didn't really like so much about it was the fact that I had seen probably half of the footage from the movie before I even got into the trailers and the previews and the interactive trailers and the footage from Yahoo Movies, and like, because I was so like, this movie's gonna be great, and I'm like, it was almost like it was giving me too much.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Kick-Ass, actually.
Yes.
So after I saw the movie, I was like, I really wish I hadn't gone to all those, you know, the WonderCon panels and the Comic-Con panels.
That's another reason that next year we're going to avoid Hall H, San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, I try to avoid watching trailers now.
Oh, jeez.
But no, I remember, like,
I went into Inception not knowing much about what it was about.
Well, I think most people.
They did a good job of hiding it.
So it was for the past like 2 months. Even like new posters for Scott Pilgrim would become a news article, and be like, okay, I don't need to see all the evil exes on one poster, and then I don't need to see their individual 7 posters and all that.
Do you think there's actually a specific reason why, like, the main Scott Pilgrim poster does not have Michael Cera's face on it?
It doesn't?
When he's pushed over the guitar? Yeah.
It's still supposed to be like, it was supposed to be, this is the comic, but in real life.
I think it's because they didn't want to put Michael Cera on it.
You read that article, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Okay. There was an article about how marketing Scott Pilgrim, they tried to avoid
Michael
Cera being a main part of the marketing. Which is so, I'm just like, oh, Michael Cera, you're just taking it from everyone now.
Hey man, guy's gotta eat.
Yeah, he's afraid of being
really hungry.
Yes,
he's so afraid of being typecast. But that's really the only character that he's good at playing. It's George Michael.
That's
Booth.
One of the reasons I'm bitter at him is because he wanted to avoid being typecast, so he refused to sign up for the Arrested Development movie. And hey, guess what? He's typecast still, and he's jumping into it.
And he hasn't been able to prove himself otherwise, right?
This movie is not going to prove that, no.
This movie is also bombing. It's going to make about $12 million this whole weekend.
Yeah, the thing is, I was just looking at the Box Office Mojo stuff. It is barely ahead of Inception, and it is behind The Other Guys.
Oh.
It's number 4.
Well, we knew it was going to be behind... Oh, behind The Other Guys, not behind The Expendables. Oh, God.
Well, it is behind The Expendables.
Of course, yeah. We knew Expendables was going to be number 1 this weekend.
And then Eat, Pray, Love is number 2.
Yeah, you knew that was going to beat Scott Pilgrim, too.
Then goes the other guys, it's such a weird weekend. Then Scott Pilgrim.
You take your family dynamic, the dads go see Expendables, the moms go see Eat, Pray, Love, and the kids go see Scott Pilgrim.
I guess the kids stayed home this weekend.
I mean, in a typical family that has 2.5 children, that means Scott Pilgrim should be making 2.5 times the money as the other two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically.
But here's the other thing. Like, before this movie came out, anyone that didn't know what Scott Pilgrim was just like, this Scott Pilgrim movie looks awful.
Well, yeah.
One of the reviewers I was reading was like, there's this upcoming movie that supposedly is based on Donkey Kong. It was, what? Because one of the taglines that we're using is like, this summer it's on like Donkey Kong.
Oh.
And so like, and it had like the little video game type thing. So the guy assumed it was a movie about Donkey Kong. It's like,
oh, terrible.
Wow.
You mean the actual fictional movie based on Fistful of... What is it? King of Kong, right? That's never coming out, but was supposed to.
I thought it did come out, like...
No. They were supposed to make it into a real movie.
Oh, okay.
What is a real movie? A
non-documentary.
Yeah.
They were going to... Based on the true story of... Okay.
A movie based on
that guy's a jackass, by the way.
Yeah, the King of Kong guy. Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's hard to get a real hold of Scott Pilgrim because it seems to be aimed at another group, but it doesn't get that group very well either. You know, I mean,
wait, which group?
The people that do like it?
Aimed for us, right?
Subject matter is for a younger generation, but its content is aimed at us, which is weird.
You'd think that in that it would get both audiences, but it may end up getting neither, is what you're saying?
That's what it feels like, yeah. Because, I mean, how many kids actually remember the sound that you get when Sonic picks up a ring? Which comes up a lot, because it happens whenever, basically, he picks up a coin in the movie. You know, and it's just like...
What year did Sonic the Hedgehog come out?
Like, 92?
Kids will still play it somehow.
92, so kids who were born in 92 right now are 18?
It's weird to me.
I just made you feel old, didn't I?
It's weird to me when I meet someone who's like, I was born in 1994.
Right? Like, you're like, what?
What? I graduated high school in 1994. Oh my God.
Get off my lawn.
Go away, kid. You don't matter.
Do you guys feel that too with Scott Pilgrim? Like, not just the movie, but in the books, where you just feel like you missed it. It missed you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that.
Yeah, I mean, it might just come from the fact that this was a story that Brian Lee O'Malley wanted to tell when he was that age, but only got around to finishing it while he was ours.
It does feel like that. It feels like this, what a 16 or 17-year-old feels young adults are like. Like the, right? What am I talking about?
I don't know. You already talked about that.
Yeah. It's not about loneliness. You don't understand.
It is about loneliness, though.
But they didn't talk about it.
A lot of it is about loneliness, finally, in like books 5 and 6. And it's like, the movie's like, ah.
Whatever.
Let's make some more stuff where things move around. And books 3 through 6. Woo! There, we got it. It's all in there.
It's all in there.
Just add some throwaway lines, man. I really like the music, though.
I like some of the music.
This is the first soundtrack I've bought in a very long time.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like every type of...
I kind of liked the Juno soundtrack better. It had less of an in-your-face indie feel. You're looking at me in that... What?
You mean a smug indie feel?
Maybe.
I don't like Juno.
That's fair. It's fair. So... Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about just about everything we can, right?
Yeah.
Do you have anything left? You have anything? Because otherwise, we're just going to say, it's like, so yeah, Scott Pilgrim is done now. There's no more books. The movie's out. The game's out.
Go play the game, though. The game's fun.
Go play the game.
Yeah, I like the game.
If you have a PlayStation, you have to wait till when for the Xbox version?
Like a few weeks, 2-3 weeks.
So yeah, the book is basically closed.
This episode might not be posted until then anyway. Dom.
Well, it's short enough that this is probably doable for him.
So anyway, so this is the thing. The book is closed on Scott Pilgrim now, basically.
You don't know that.
So here's one thing, you know.
It's supposed to be closed on Harry Potter as well.
So now that that was done, what do you think about the franchise as a whole? It's complete.
I wouldn't know if I'd call it a franchise.
Yeah, after the Hollywood receipts get tallied up, we're not going to see much Scott Pilgrim stuff ever.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see the DVD. It'll have some extras on it. That'll be our last taste. Yeah.
The numbers are really that bad, huh?
4.5 million behind the other guys. Yikes. With 5.5 million.
Oh, they're probably going to do a double 2.5 multiplier, so you can get to maybe like 28 million in the end. And given us the low estimate on the budget is 40 million.
Oof.
And think about marketing, too. And the high estimate on the budget is 90 million.
What?
Jeez.
So Universal is going to lose more money.
Jeez. But, yeah, I mean, would you actually seek out more of it if he made more of it?
No.
I don't know where he would take it from here.
After Volume 6, no.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. After Volume 6, it's like, that was... He didn't kind of left the door open, but it's like, no, I don't want to see more of this. And
maybe a spinoff about Knives and her parents. Or really just her dad.
I would like a spinoff about Envy. I wouldn't mind.
Like a spinoff about anybody but Scott Pilgrim. they're all good, except for Scott Pilgrim.
You actually like all of the characters?
I like, comics, I like all the characters except for Scott Pilgrim. And that's really what brings down the comics for me.
I actually don't like Ramona that much either, personally.
She's fine. I miss some of the parts that were very specific to the comics, like when he's looking around for Ramona, he does the thing like, do you know a girl that looks like this? For her hair.
Kevin's doing the pointy hair thing.
Yeah, and instead he just picks up a picture. I'm like, okay, I guess it's too hard to have him just do this. The pointy thing.
The pointing down hair thing. Where he sticks his index fingers against his head. Well, All right, yeah. Because
that doodle, by the way, was drawn by Brian Lee O'Malley.
Yeah, we knew.
Okay. Oh, I can totally tell now.
It's totally that style.
It's totally ugly.
ugly.
One of the things I was saying was going to be he was going to draw like a girl that looks like this, and then we're going to show a picture of Ramona from the comics.
Oh yeah, 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 I saw that.
Yeah. Which would have been funny, but then you'd have been like, how can he draw like that?
So yeah, I mean, I would appreciate some spin-offs, but I think that I'd prefer this to be my past. It's something I read in the over the course of 4 hours, then there was a 2-hour movie, and I think it's done. You know? That's where my part of it is.
Yeah, you didn't join us for the, 6 years of waiting?
Was it really that long?
Yeah. Yes. But I only started reading it when
you knew it probably might finish.
Yeah, exactly. When, like, what's this? It's like, it had been, like, on the periphery, because, I mean, I've been reading comics forever, and it was just, like, one of those things that was just on the shelf, and, you know, I'm like, oh, this isn't drawn that well. I'm not going to get into it. And then, like, I guess it was it when they announced the movie, maybe, then? I started picking up the volumes. The problem is, at that point, everyone wanted to get the volumes, and Oni just could not print them fast enough. And so, it took forever for me to actually get my hands on the first 5 volumes.
So where are these kids that were supposed that, you know, bought the entire first print run of the 6 volume and like you couldn't even buy it anywhere? I mean, is it really just $11 million of revenue for these kids, or are they just sneaking in? Volume 6 sold like crazy. It sold so many units, and then I can't understand that if it sold that many units for the books, how come no one went to see the movie? Especially since the movie got great reviews too.
It did get good reviews.
I don't know.
No idea.
It's gonna get Okami'd is what it's gonna get.
Yeah.
Or Psychonauted.
Yeah. Psychonauted. I think Psychonauted works better than Okami'd.
Yeah, I miss Psychonauts.
You don't have to, you can just download it.
Yeah, I bought it on Steam.
I have it, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I just bought it on Steam. I need to play it again. I lost my save game.
Oh. All right, so that's pretty much the book on Scott Pilgrim. We have mixed feelings about it, but it's done, and we enjoyed the movie. Is there anything else to add to that? Not really, is there? That's pretty much what we think of Scott Pilgrim. All right.
We're going to get so many bad emails.
Bring it!
Bring it, you whippersnappers.
Email us, basement dweller.
Now, if you want to talk about, if you want to get on our lawn, please send us feedback@s-words.podcast.com.
I was sitting behind this pretentious Chinese guy in the theater at the Metreon.
He didn't laugh at all.
Oh, what a jerk store.
He only laughed at that part where Scott mixed around the magnetic letters.
And then he punched someone in the face. Wait, the magnetic letters. Yeah. We were talking about basement dwellers, right? No, I was doing the outro. Oh,
yes, sorry. I kind of interrupted you there.
You can find us online at s-words-podcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/s_words. And Kevin, where do you go on the internet?
twitter.com/s_words. That's the one to talk to.
Are you sure? Why are you basement dweller? You should send it to feedback@s-podcast.com because that goes to Kevin.
I'm going to start forwarding those to you. I'm not even going to look at them.
Good night, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
You forwarded one to me that was very,
hilarious. We're not talking about that anymore. Okay, we're done.
Okay.